Then Jesus came and life has never been the same. That's the theme of our cantata tonight. So sit back and relax and hope it'll be a blessing and let the Holy Spirit have his will and way.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and God created man in his own image. But man utterly rejected God's authority and plunged the entire human race into the prison of sin and death. And death reigned upon the face of the earth. O Lord, send us a Savior. Send us Emmanuel. In the beginning, God created me, and God breathed into my nostrils the breath of life, and I became a living soul. But I utterly rejected God's authority and plunged myself into the prison of sin and death to dwell in darkness forever.
Tilly, honey, I ain't deep, you know. Well, anyway, not since I got this here new hearing aid. How you been doing, Tilly?
Oh, Swanee, Lizzie, my joints are killing me, and it's only November. I won't be able to move by the time Christmas gets here. Lizzie, let me ask you something. Our little town of Forest Grove is gonna be headed for another record-breaking winter, isn't it?
Could be, Tilly. Trees did turn mighty early this year. Do you reckon it'll be as bad as the winter we had back in 42?
Land of Goshen, I hope not. That was a doozy. Tilly, let me ask you something. What do you think about our new parson we got?
Well, if you ask me, Tilly, that wife of his is awful pretty. Maybe a little too pretty for a preacher's wife. But I guess he's a pleasant enough sort of fella. Maybe a mite young.
Lord have mercy on us. Grandpa Billy says that he is fresh out of Bible college, and you and me both know what that means.
What?
He ain't got no experience. No experience at all. Why, he's practically a babe in arms, still wet behind the ears. And you and me both know, they just don't make young folks like they used to.
Well, I'll be. You're right, Tilly. And to think, we're entrusting the keeping of our precious souls to that young whippersnapper. Why didn't we think about that before we went and voted him in?
Oh, well, you know, it takes time sometimes to think some of these important matters through. Rome wasn't built in a day, don't you know? Now, don't you fret none. Grandpa Billy has been running this town for 40 years, and he is going to keep a tight leash on that kid pastor.
Winters in the small town of Forest Grove were bitterly cold, and so were the townspeople. Mountains of powdery snow piled up everywhere, and the cutting, icy wind drove everyone into a kind of frustrated hibernation around their old potbelly stoves. Except for an occasional trip to Grandpa Billy's general store, most folks stayed inside and communicated by telephone. Temperatures often plunged below zero, but inside the one lone church in Forest Grove, it was below zero all year long. Pastor Jeff Thompson had just arrived in town with his wife, Ellen, and their six-year-old son, Timmy. Pastor Thompson was earnestly seeking God's blessing on his first pastorate and was eager to get started on that first Sunday morning.
I can't tell you how excited I am to be your new pastor. Well, I've waited for this day for a long, long time, and I just can't believe that it's finally here. You have my word as your new pastor that I'll try my very best to be a help and encouragement to you as we work together to add folks to the kingdom of God. Now, I've got exciting news for all you kids. As you know, my wife Ellen plays the piano, and we like to start a children's choir next Sunday evening.
George.
Yes, Grandpa Billy, and the name's Jeff.
Jeff. Oh, Jeff. Well, sorry, son.
That's all right, sir. Did you want to say something?
Well, I was just a-thinking. We ain't never had a children's choir before, and I don't know that we better be a-starting one right soon. Sounds like a pretty big undertaking to me.
Don't worry, Grandpa Billy. You won't have to do a thing. Why, me and my wife Ellen will do all the work.
Now, you just hold your horses, sonny boy, and you remember your place. I learned a long time ago that these things have a way of going way out of hand in no time. You just give me some time. I'll get the deacons together, and we'll talk it through.
But, Grandpa Billy, what could possibly be wrong with teaching the kids a couple Christmas carols?
Well, I ain't saying it's necessarily wrong. It's just, well, we ain't never done it that way before.
The piano in the church. All the children were disappointed that they couldn't begin the children's choir right away. And so were most of their parents. But no one had the courage to oppose Grandpa Billy. Besides, everyone was certain that the idea would be approved by the deacon board eventually. After all, what reasonable deacon would actually vote against having a children's choir?
Lizzie, did you hear?
Did I hear what?
The deacons finally got together last night and voted on the children's choir.
Well, it's about time. Pastor Thompson wanted to start that Christmas program 5 weeks ago. And why should Grandpa Billy care about any old children's choir anyway? Why, me and you both know, Tilly, the minute he walks into that church house and sits down, he falls asleep. What happened at the meeting?
Well, Grandpa just got up and said that he just didn't believe in a children's choir. And that was just the end of it.
You mean they didn't even vote?
Remember now, Lizzie, dear, Grandpa Billy and his father built this church house of ours with their own two hands, one board at a time. And he ought to have a say in what goes on.
You're right, Tilly. And if Grandpa Billy's agin it, then I'm agin it too.
Amen.
Pastor Thompson's troubles were just beginning. He tried to start a Wednesday night prayer meeting, but the deacons voted it down too. Mainly because Wednesday night was the same night Grandpa Billy and his cronies had played dominoes for 20 years. And as Grandpa Billy put it, playing dominoes is religion in action. Then, Pastor Thompson asked if he could install lights in the church basement to provide much needed Sunday school space. But Grandpa Billy opposed him again. Grandpa always said, can't be too careful with the Lord's money. Then everyone began to notice a strange phenomenon. Every Sunday, Grandpa Billy was beginning to stay awake for a little more of the church service. And it wasn't because he was enjoying what he heard.
In closing, we see that Nicodemus seemed to have everything going in his favor. He was both a Pharisee and a member of the Sanhedrin. Why, I guess the Sanhedrin's something like our deacon board. Nicodemus was one of the most outstanding spiritual leaders of his day. And yet, the Lord said that just being a leader of the church wasn't good enough. Nicodemus needed to be born again, born completely over by the Spirit of God.
Oh.
As the service came to a close, even the children were whispering about it. Grandpa Billy had actually stayed awake through the entire service. He hadn't dozed off one time. And as soon as the final amen was pronounced, Grandpa Billy made a beeline for Pastor Jeff.
Good to see you, Grandpa Billy.
Same to you, I'm sure, George.
You want to say something, Grandpa Billy?
You just need to keep this evangelism stuff out of the morning service. You're even trying to sneak it into Christmas. Now, it might be all right to use it on the children in Sunday school, but I don't want any of it in the pulpit. Your sermons are getting way too preachy.
What do you mean, sir?
Well, it's like this, sonny boy. I'm going to level with you. Me and just about everybody else in this here church was baptized before you was knee-high to a June bug.
I realize that, sir, and I certainly respect
it. Well, then, why do you keep on ranting and raving about sin and salvation like we was a bunch of heathen or something? Now, you need to quit it before you confuse some of these old-timers with all this born-again stuff.
But, Grandpa Billy, all I did was explain the story of Nicodemus from the Gospel of John.
Ain't you been listening to me, son? That's exactly what I've been talking about. You best stay away from that Gospel of Nicodemus and all them other wild-fired books you've been getting these harebrained ideas from. We don't allow nothing in this church house but the Bible. The Bible, I say. It was good enough for my grandfather, and it's good enough for you. Understand?
I think so.
Well, I hope so, for your sake.
Amen.
Lord, I confess that, well, sometimes I wonder why you brought me and my family to Forest Grove. Everything I do is wrong. Everyone's against us. But yet in your word, you said, ask and you shall receive. So Lord, for the next 3 days, I'm gonna fast and I'm gonna pray that you'll give me one man, just one man that'll love you and serve you with all of his heart. God, please.
Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it
3 days later, Pastor Thompson was on his knees praying when he heard a muffled knock on the front door. "This is my answer," the young pastor thought as he literally jumped to his feet and ran for the door. Only one obstacle stood between the racing reverend and the answer to his prayers. That obstacle was his son's stray roller skate, which was carelessly parked right in the middle of the hallway. As the pastor rounded the corner from the study to the hallway, without warning, his left foot flew east, his right foot flew west, and for one frantic moment, Pastor Thompson was completely airborne in angelic flight. However, it wasn't long before the laws of gravity regained control of the situation, and Pastor Thompson came in for a crash landing on the coffee table in the hardwood floor. Moments later, and only half conscious, Pastor Thompson dizzily surveyed what was left of his makeshift landing strip. The coffee table was broken in four pieces. There was a sharp, stabbing pain in his left shoulder, and his throbbing right leg was curled under his body where he knew it shouldn't be. His wife was at the grocery, and Timmy was at school, so there was no use calling for help unless his answer to prayer was still waiting at the door. Pastor Thompson painfully tried to pull himself up on the nearby chair.
"Come on in. If anyone's out there, come in. The door's open."
"Hey, Preach."
"Oh, it's you.
You were expecting maybe Santa Claus?"
"It's not that I'm not glad to see you, Bobby. I was expecting someone else."
"What's that blood on your face? I bet you've been in a fight, haven't you? Wow, wait till I tell the guys about this. They'll never believe it."
"No, Bobby, I haven't been in a fight. I tripped on one of Timmy's roller skates as I was answering the door. You think you can call Doc Forsythe for me? I think my leg's broken."
Bobby stood in a state of shock, jaw dropped, eyes bugged, and brain in neutral. Racing through his 12-year-old mind were the possible headlines of the next day's newspaper. "Bobby Simpson, modern-day superhero, saves pastor's life." Suddenly, something snapped in Bobby's brain. He bolted from his trance and he raced for the phone as though mere seconds separated the pastor from eternity. Unfortunately, Bobby never saw the broken coffee table. After clumsily tripping and flying through the air, the full weight of Bobby's 72 pounds came crashing down right on the suffering pastor's poor broken leg.
"Oh, Bobby!"
"I'm sorry, Preacher, I'm sorry. Oh, why do these things always happen to me? Oh, where's that phone? Operator, this is an emergency. Tell Doc Forsythe to get over to the pastor's house in a hurry." "What? He's delivering the Thorndale baby. Well, the preacher's bad hurt. He can't wait. Tell that baby to get a move on and hurry, or my grandpa Billy's gonna hear about it."
"Well, I think we're gonna be here for a while. Care to sit down, Bobby?"
"No, thanks."
"Well, what brought you over here this afternoon?"
"It's just that, remember last Sunday when you were talking about Nick somebody?
Nicodemus?"
"Yeah, that's a guy. And you said how Jesus told him he had to be born over again."
"Yes, I remember, Bobby. Go on."
"And then you said that Jesus wants to come into our hearts and make us brand new people and live right inside of us and everything. Ain't that what you said?"
"Yes, Bobby, that's what I said. Have you ever done that?"
"No, Preacher, I haven't. I'm a sinner, a bad sinner. Like the time I sprayed itching powder all over Miss Norton's fur coat."
"Well, that wasn't very kind, was it, Bobby?"
"Then last week, I baked the Barton's cat in Mom's microwave."
"Bobby!"
"Then last week, I snitched all the cookies out of the box you were getting ready to send the poor folks for Christmas."
"So you're the one?"
"Yes, Preacher, I'm the one. I reckon I must be about the worst sinner there ever was. What should I do, Preacher? Oh, what should I do?"
"Bobby, those are the most precious words I've heard since I've been at Forest Grove."
"Preacher, I've got to get born over."
"Well, why don't we ask the Lord into your heart right now?"
"Do you think he'd listen to me?"
"Bobby, I'm sure he would."
"Lord, you and me are the onlyest ones who know all the terrible things I've done. I'm awful sorry, Lord. Please come into my heart and live inside of me and make me a new person. And I want to live for you from now on."
"Dear Lord, thank you. Your ways are so much higher than ours."
Thank you. Jesus left heaven to dwell on earth. Now in the stillness he comes again. Now I have witnessed his birth. Born in my heart, born in my heart, Jesus the Savior is born in my heart. He is no more a stranger. My heart is his manger, for Jesus is born in my heart. No room for Jesus.
Bobby Simpson, the 12-year-old town pest, had been the terror of the whole community. Then, Jesus came, and little Bobby would never be the same again. When Bobby rose to his feet, he threw his arms around the pastor's neck and whispered, "He came in, just like you said." As their tears flowed, the pastor kept remembering the scripture he had been reading earlier that morning. "Great and marvelous are thy works."
That's right, Lizzie. When old Doc Forsythe got to Pastor Thompson's house, it looked like a tornado had struck. And bless his heart, the pastor was half dead with his leg busted in two places. What in the world do you think about it? You know, Bobby was down on his knees a-praying. What do you think, Lizzie?
I don't rightly know, Tilly. Do you reckon that preacher wrestled Bobby down to the floor and made him pray?
Could be, but if that's what happened, he sure was lucky to come out of it with just a broken leg.
Well, maybe breaking his leg was part of some wild-eyed religious ritual that preacher performed on Bobby.
Sounds awfully suspicious to me. I bet you 10-1 that they would practice in some kind of Puerto Rican voodoo.
Well, I don't know what they was a-doing, but I know one thing. Bobby ain't the same boy. Why, his mama told me the other day that he's practically turned into an angel overnight at home. Even obeys his folks most of the time. And even tries to be kind to that bratty sister of his.
Well, my nephew told me that he was peddling his religion at school, too. He was trying to get all his friends saved, as he calls it. I just don't like it.
I wonder if that preacher's wife has something to do with all these strange goings on. I told you, Tilly, she's too pretty for her own good. But I know one thing. Grandpa Billy ain't gonna sit idly by while some renegade preacher tears his town apart. He's got plans.
Have you been eavesdropping again, Lizzie?
Why, no, Tilly. But I did just happen to overhear Grandpa Billy a-telling his domino partner that if that heretic preacher didn't settle down, why, he was gonna boot him from out of the state.
Is that so?
Yep. And some of Grandpa Billy's words weren't all that religious, neither.
Really? What were some of them?
Now, Tilly, you know I would never go around repeating such language.
Oh, don't you worry, Lizzie. I wouldn't tell a soul. I ain't never been one to gossip nohow.
Well, all right. I'll tell you what he said, but you are not going to believe it. And I even writ it down so I wouldn't forget nary a word.
As Christmas approached, there was a strange sense of division taking place at Forest Grove Baptist Church. Bobby had led several of his friends to Christ, and many of the other school kids were coming home asking their parents what it meant to be born over, as Bobby called it. Also, rumor had it that old Doc Forsythe had gotten saved at Pastor Thompson's house after church one Sunday night. Some of his patients said that Doc claimed to be working for a new boss, someone Doc called the Great Physician. The result was a new boldness in Pastor Thompson's preaching.
The Bible says that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. And because of our sin, we are not worthy to enter into God's presence. But there is one who is worthy, and this is the heart of the Christmas story. That God sent his little lamb to that manger in Bethlehem to shed his blood for all mankind. No, we're not worthy, but we can place our trust in the Lamb of God because worthy is the Lamb.
Brother and companion
was in the spirit.
Finally, on December 23rd, the inevitable happened. Pastor Thompson, as well as every other church member, received a letter from Grandpa Billy calling for a church business meeting at 12 noon on none other than Christmas Day. Pastor Thompson tried to get in touch with Grandpa Billy, but Grandpa refused to talk with him. In fact, Grandpa Billy had not shown his face in church since his grandson had gotten saved.
Lord, it looks like it's all over for me here at Forest Grove. Please work a miracle in Grandpa Billy's heart. I love these folks, and, well, maybe I'm just not cut out to be pastor after all. But you're still in control, God, and if it can please you, work a miracle in our little church. God, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you.
Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. But when the sky grows darker and courage turns to fear, my anxious voice cries upward with words you long to hear. Lord, I need you.
Lord, I need you.
When the sea of life is calm, oh Lord, I need you. When the wind is blowing strong, whether trials come or cease, keep me always on my knees. Lord, I need you.
At 7 a.m. on Christmas morning, Pastor Thompson plugged in the lights on their little tree, called Timmy and his wife Ellen around him, and read the Christmas story. It had been a long night. Pastor Thompson had prayed all night that God would work a miracle in the lives of his small flock. As noon approached, people poured into Forest Grove Church. It had never been so packed. Little children were being shoved into the nursery, dragging their new toys behind them, and people were being seated on either side of the aisle, depending on whether they were for or against Pastor Thompson. Lots of chairs had to be set up on the negative side. As the organ played softly, an eerie sort of feeling began to settle over everyone. It was almost as though they were gathering for a funeral, Pastor Thompson's funeral. At 11:59, the pastor and his wife slipped in the side door and took their seats. It was obvious that they had been crying. Then, at 12 o'clock sharp, in walked Grandpa Billy, the man whose word had always been final in Forest Grove.
Friends, relatives, fellow members, I think you know why I called this here meeting. These past few weeks, people have been making religion their whole life, claiming to have been born over, as my grandson calls it, claiming they weren't Christians, even though they'd been baptized right here in this very church. And this preacher here is the man responsible. In my hand, I hold a letter of resignation for one Pastor Jeffrey E. Thompson, stating that effective tonight, December 25th, he hereby resigns as pastor of Forest Grove Baptist Church. It only lacks his signature. And I brought this paper for him to sign in our presence so all of us could be witnesses. But I have an even better idea. Bobby, you take this paper and you tell these folks my new plan.
Since me and Pastor Thompson are such good friends and all, Grandpa Billy asked me to take this here piece of paper and hold it up for all to see. Then Grandpa took me to take it and tear it up into itsy bitsy pieces, just like this. Because Merry Christmas, everybody! Merry Christmas, Pastor Thompson! Grandpa Billy got born over! Born over on Christmas Day!
Grandpa Billy, did you really get saved?
Well, Pastor, it's like this. Last night, I just couldn't sleep. I kept wondering, what if what's happened to my grandson is real? So, I got my father's old Bible out, and I began to read. I came across that story about Nicodemus. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. I read it over and over again, and I read some other parts too. And pretty soon, I saw how wrong I'd been. Then, about 5 this morning, the doorbell rings, and it was Bobby. He walked all the way over to my place through the snow just to tell me that he loved me and that he wanted me to get born over too. So we got down on our knees. He showed me how to ask Jesus into my heart. I've been carrying a load of sin on these old shoulders for the last 75 years. Then Jesus came and took that load of sin away. Pastor Thompson, I've been a cantankerous old fool. Can you find it in your heart to forgive me?
Of course I forgive you, Grandpa Billy. I'm just so glad that you're saved. Why, you've made this the happiest Christmas of my life.
What started out as a meeting to barbecue the preacher, God transformed into a glorious revival service that lasted for over 3 hours. No one who was there will ever forget it. Nearly half the congregation came forward and said they wanted to get born over just like Bobby and Grandpa Billy. And you know what? Pastor Thompson is still the pastor. He loves his people, and my, how they love him. What happened? Well, it was kind of like a repeat of what took place almost 2,000 years ago in another town thousands of miles away. The world was lost in sin, and the situation looked hopeless. Then Jesus came.